today's Shia starts via the Shem Yisbarach and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, 16 lines from the top with the words Noidai Soev Dekichavin Vekankanein. At this point, the Mishnah continues with the Hemshech of what was discussed earlier. The Mishnah specifies different inyanim that belong to Goyim that are asked to Yisrael. The Mishnah tells us when we say that they are asked to Yisrael, there is a machlokes between the Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not they are also asked to Hanah. For example, suppose he wants to take it and sell it and to use the money. So the Mishnah tells us, Noidos Hagoyim Vekankanein. Noidos are sacks that are made out of or, actually the types of bottles or pouches that you can pour liquid into it. Kankanin are kadim sholcheres. They were used to keep wine or milk. The Mishnah told us, if the Yayin shall Yisrael kanes behen, the Yid put in his wine into these noidos or kankanin, that is after the Akum had previously used it for his own wine, so the Alacha is Asurin, the Isuran Isur Hanah. These noidos or kankanin that have within them the absorptions of the wine of the Akum after the wine of the Yid. It asks it the Hanah. That's the opinion of the Meir. The Meir holds that Yayin, which is absorbed into the walls of the Keli, have the same din of Yayin Nesach Be'en. And the Chachamim told us in the Mishnah that Ein Isur and Isur Hanah, the Yayin Shal Yisrael that was put into these pouches, is also B'shtiyah, but it's Mutar Ba'anah. If the Yid wants to, he can sell it to an Akam. According to the Chachamim, Yayin Nesach does not aser something Ba'anah unless it is Be'en. If it's Yayin Nesach that has been absorbed in the Tfanes HaKeli, it does not aser the new wine Ba'anah. Before we begin, let's be magdim that this is a difficult sugya. The Rishonim have different mahalchim, how to understand the sugya. There are common nafkaminas ladin over here. To learn the sugya first, Lefishitas Rashi. Afterwards, the other Shem Yisbarach will see how Taisus learns the sugya. Now some of the other Rishonim discuss this inyan. Taita Banu Rilit Nebrais. Noidai Sa'ovdei Kechavim. The skin bottles of Avdei Kechavim. If Gerudim and Chadashim. Mutarin and Mermut. Gerudim, Rashi explains, regards this with a dalit, it's from the Lashon of Lehizgari. It means that no zephes is in here. It was common for them to pour tar into these pouches. That would keep the wine inside better. There is no tar over here. And they're new. Both of these factors are important. The fact that there's no tar means any wine that had to have been absorbed directly into the skin. But these are new. So the wine hasn't been here for a very long period of time. Therefore, we say that the Ar couldn't really have absorbed anything significant, and the Mela, should the Yid put his wine in afterwards, it's not a concern. Shita's Rashi is, this is Dafka in regard to the Noidais, the Dafka in regard to these skin bottles. But if it were Kli Cheres, then it would be Belaya right away, even if it was new. Factors of the Beraisa, Yishanim, if however they are old, which means that the wine has been here for an extended period of time, or in Zufafin, or the tar is there, then a suet, then it's also right away. Even if there's no tar, but if the wine has been there for a long time, so we say the Ar had a chance to really absorb the Yayin Nesach, and in turn that's going to come out into any subsequent wine that is put in. And if there's tar there, so it doesn't have to be for a long time. The nature of the tar is to take in the wine right away. It's going to absorb it almost instantly. Zakti, one of Aiter, Oivet Kechavim, Rizavon, Zakrashi, this is a Loshen of Rizav, which means fats. In other words, the Yavid Yechavim is pouring the tar in. He's melting down the tar, and he's pouring the hot tar into this bottle. The Yivdan, and then he begins to process the bottle. The Nosan L'Toychan Yayin, and he also puts wine in. Now Rashi explains, that's the way it was done. When the tar was still warm, they would add a little wine right there and then, and that would take away the bitterness of the tar. The Yisrael Oymid Al Gaba, and a Yid is standing over here watching him. Ein Echayshish. There's no need to be concerned. Frek the Gemara, if the Yavik Yichavim is putting the wine in, so Ki Yisrael Emidol Gabav may have it. What does it help me that the Yisrael is Emidol Gabav? The Yavik Yichavim is touching the wine. And for the Gemara Amar Papa Hachikam, this is Pshat. The Yavik Yichavim is pouring in the Hatar. The Ivdan, and he is processing it. The Yisrael Noisim L'Toychan Yayin, and the Yid is the one who pours the wine in. The Yisrael Achar Oymed Al Gabav, and there's a second Yid standing over there watching. The Yenim Chayshish, here there is no reason to be concerned. Frek the Gemara, Miyachad Yisrael Noisim L'Toychan Yayin, if it's the Yid that's pouring the wine into the tar over here, so Yisrael Achar Oymed Al Gabav Lamali, why do I need another Yid standing over there? And for the Gemara, because Dilma Agav Tirdei, being that the first Yid is busy over here, pouring wine into hard tar has to be done right. if not the pouch is not going to turn out okay. So there's a concern, Dilmagav Tirde, being that he's so busy, Menasach, the Akam will take advantage of the Yid's Hesach Adas, and without the Yid realizing, he would pour the wine for his Avodah Zarah. But Lavadati, the Yid won't realize it. And therefore, we need another Yid who isn't working, but can keep his eyes on the Akam. Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid says, it's not necessary to say that there are two Yidden over here to make it that complicated. The other man will tell you, Kitaka Amrit Meikar, that it's the Akim himself who is pouring the wine in. Ah, you ask if the Akim is pouring the wine in, so how does the Yisrael Emil Gabav help me? The Akim is touching the wine. And for the Gemara, the Hach over here, the wine is really meaningless. Wine that is poured into hot tar is useless afterwards. It doesn't exist in the form of wine anymore. The Hach over here, the Inna de Kashadilei, as he is pouring the wine into the hot tar, Nasa Kizarik Maim Letit. It's like when you pour water into a mixture of sand and lime. The water is non-existent for all practical purposes. This yayin is Hoylech Le'ibud, Rashi explains. Its tam becomes bottle, the same way water becomes bottle in tit. As soon as the tit dries, is there any remnant of the water that you can point to? It's as if the water never existed. The same is true for this yayin. It disappears into the zephes. As soon as the zephes dries up, there's no more wine over here. It won't be pilot. There's no concern that this wine would come back out into any other wine that's poured into the pouch. The yayin yaser b'rashi. Amadapati shemami namadir of zvid is a raya from the zvid that high over kichav. The shadu chamelo bein milchi di Yisrael. This over kichav that pours wine into zakrashi, a keli full of salt that belongs to a yid. Sure, it's mutter. Because the same way the wine sort of disappears into the hatar, it just becomes a component of the hatar, but it's not anything tangible anymore. The wine also disappears when it falls into salt. Maskulat of Ashi midami. How can you compare the two cases? Hasim ka'azal li'ibud. When you pour wine into hatar, for all practical purposes, the wine is lost. The wine is going to dry up over here and become part of this tar. Hach over here, like ka'azal li'ibud. True. The wine isn't liquid anymore. It becomes part of the salt, but it gives a taste to the salt. It's not like the wine disappears, like it becomes part of the cement. Shrek says, what was the Gemara's Havamina? How can the Papi possibly have a Havamina to compare wine and salt to wine and hatar? The idea of the wine and the hatar is that it becomes part of a compound, like the water in the teeth, where it's non-existent, it dries up and you don't see it anymore, you don't taste it anymore. Obviously, wine and salt is different. Therefore, Taisus learns that day milchi doesn't mean a plate of salt. There's no havamina, that if wine is put into salt, it becomes asa. Day milchi means the place where they make the salt. There's a tremendous amount of heat over there. And if you pour wine in, here the wine truly disappears. Despite that, Ravashi still disagrees, and Ravashi says that although the fire burns up the wine, but it's not doing it to the case of the pouch. Because in the pouch you have certain foul odors. You have the zuham of the or that's mevatel the initial yayin. And that you don't have over there. And in Mele you can't compare it. The yayin into the pouch is mutter. Yayin into salt is not. Even the place where they make the salt. The Rebbeinu Tzaddik says, however, that Rav Ashi isn't necessarily saying that he would disagree with Rav Papi. It could be the wine that they pour into the salt processing plant. Isn't a problem. He is merely saying that you cannot prove that from a Ziv Halacha with the wine into the Hatar. For Lamaisa, the Rabbeinu Tam says over here that the Halacha is like a Fati. And he says, therefore, they were matir the salt that the Gaya made, even though it was common that they placed dam on it as it was cooking. That helped to whiten the salt. And the Halachic argument to say that it's mutter is what the Gemara says over here. It's like pouring the water into the tit. It ceases to exist as a separate entity. The dam, as far as we are concerned, isn't really there anymore. Sakti Moraviter, Barade Taya, Barade the Arab. Onas Hanizike, he forced away some of these skin bottles, Megav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Zambabu Chamra, while he had them in his possession, he put wine into them. And then, for whatever reason, Vadrinu Nele, he returned them to him. The problem was, can he use it now? So he came to ask in the Bismedrash, what is the halacha with my pouches that were taken away, used by the Akam, and I returned to me? Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, so Rav Yirmiyah told him, Kach hoyer Rav Ami halacha l'maisa. This is how Rav Ami paskin halacha l'maisa. that nemal mayim shloisha yamim, for 3 days you should fill them up with water, umaharon, and then spill out the water. V'yamarava, what we mean is sarach lara neyes liyes. At the end of each of the 24-hour period, you have to empty it out and then fill it up again, as opposed to saying you should only empty it out at the end of 3 days. The Gemara first was under the impression, from the way he explained it, that hanimili didan. When does this process work of filling it up with water and emptying it out for 3 days in a row? That's by our pouches. In other words, if l'chatchila belonged to us, and all along, from the time that it was made, it was absorbed in kosher wine. So for the one time, or for the short period of time that the Yaakov put in his wine, so this process of the 3 days of water is going to remove that, meaning that the etzem is saturated with good wine. Avol did the hula, but let's say this wasn't the case, as it is over here, where it was a pouch full of kosher wine that was stolen. But let's say it was a pouch that belonged to the Yaakov all along. And since this pouch was made, it saturated only yayin that is not good. Maybe over here this process doesn't help over the 3 days of water. So kiyos adavim, the adavim came to Meretz Yisrael. Amen Abshim ben Lakish, that echad shalanu, whether it's ours, the echad shalahem, it does work. If you keep water inside for 3 days in a row, changing the water every 24 hours, it removes all the previous absorptions. So, was first under the impression, as he expressed it to the Vashi, that hani mili noides. When does this process work? By noides, they're out of skin. They're not that porous. Not that much gets in to start with. Aval kankanim, but jugs made of earthenware lie. Surely this process of the water wouldn't help to remove the absorptions from those. Earthenware is so much more porous. There's so much more saturated in its walls. However, Amalei Davashi, Davashi said to him when he heard this, you're making a mistake. Because the fact is, Loishna Noides, or Loishna Kankanin, in both cases, this process of the water works. Now the Gemara is yet to discuss what type of Klicheres we're talking about. We're going to see many specifics about it. But Lamaisa, doesn't this go against the general grain of what we know about Klicheres? That no kashering helps with Klicheres? And the answer is, where the Demoz Mevayr in your day is Simen Kuf Lamed Hei Sivav. The Mishnah Berurah discusses it in Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tof Nun Aleph, Sivkot and Kuf Yud Zayin, that the Iri that works for a Klicheres works only if it was used with something cold. When Al Gemara says you can kasher it, the Gemara is referring to cold Yayin Esach. Or in Hilchos Pesach, when we say it has beer and that the Iri could help, that is Medafke if it was used with cold beer. But if it was used with something hot, then we know the rule that no kashering helps for earthenware. In regard to other kelim, if it was used with something hot, then you have to kasher it. And then it requires hagala or libun, depending on what it is. So once again, whether we're talking about chametz, whether we're talking about something non-kosher, or we're talking about yayin esach, if it was used with something warm, then you have the regular halachis of kashering. And the regular halachis of kashering state that you cannot kasher klicheres. There is no possible way to kasher klicheres. When our Gemara tells us about the inyan of Iroi, the water for 3 consecutive periods of 24 hours, changing it each day, that is bedafka if it was used with something cold. May high time, the Shachin Yerdei is Simin Kuf Lamed Hei, Sivkot Lamed Gimel says, that Iroi will not help if the Iser was laying in the clay heter for an Esles, because we pass in that Kavish is Kimavushal. If it was soaking there that long, it has the same din of being cooked. And as we just explained, once it's cooked, and for Klicheres there is no Eitzah, and even for other Kalim, Iri is not an Eitzah, you need the regular kashering. Agav, it is Mavoy in Yerodeya, Simen Kuf Lamed Hei, the Mishnah Berurah brings it in Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tav Nanalev, Sivkot and Kuf Yod Ches, that the 3 days don't have to be consecutive 3 days. They can be 1 day at a time, as long as for each day you had a full 24 hours of water, and afterwards the water was taken out. This is the Gemara of Fishitas Rashi. Now, it's important to understand what Rashi told us in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah described this case, that a Yid takes the Noides of Ayv D'Kechavim and he puts his wine inside, Rashi in the Mishnah explained that he puts his wine in their Lakiyim. That means that the Yid is keeping his wine in these Noides of Ayv D'Kechavim for an extended period of time. And this is a key Rashi, because it means that Rashi is telling us the only reason it's Asur B'Hanah is because the Yiddish wine was there for an extended period of time. But if a Yid took Noides of Ayv D'Kechavim and put his wine in and took it out right away, L'chayur, the way Rashi learns, it would not be Asur. And the Rosh says, Rashi's Medayik, that's from the Lashon HaMishnah. The Lashon of the Mishnah wasn't Noides of Ayv D'Kechavim and a Yid put his wine there. Rather, the Yayin Shel Yisrael Kanus Behen. So the Mishnah seems to be stressing more that the Yid permanently placed his wine over here. It was gathered over there. It was kept there for a long period. The Rosh agrees with Rashi, saying it's Mestava that way. After all, we're talking about something cold over here. We never find that something that is cold, that it should excrete the absorptions into the contents of the keli instantly. If it's soaked for a long period of time, in Mela. But if you just put it in and took it out, why should I say that it absorbed the taste of the wine? The Metzius doesn't seem to be that way. Now, the end is, the Rosh explains, Rashi holds that Stam Yain is like Yain Nesach. It doesn't become bottled b'shish. The Rebbein Tamalei Repaskins, that while Yain Nesach doesn't become bottled, Stam Yain does become bottled. And therefore, says the Rosh, according to that Shita, even if there is some tiny excretion, even with cold Yain coming into this bag, but for sure, whatever those blias are, become bottled. What troubles the Rosh, with Shita's Rashi, and it bothers Tysus as well, is that we don't seem to have very conclusive guidelines. We're told that if it's put in and taken out right away, it's not a problem. If it's put in and left there, then it's a concern. In the course of time, the bleus will begin to come out, even though it's cold. What is cold left there, and what is cold right away? Are we talking about hours? Are we talking about days, weeks? So the Rosh suggests the shear is in the eslais, 24 hours. The Rosh brings rise from the Alachis of Basa B'chala, where we see that even tzainin, even something cold, in an issa, if it's laying there for more than 24 hours, as we mentioned earlier from some of the Rishonim, after a meslais, it takes on a whole different dimension, and we assume that there is a greater serious transfer of bulius over here into the present contents of the pouch. Now, the best raya, says the Rosh, to that shear of meslais, from Al Gemara over here, how long are we told to keep the water in the pouch? 24 hours. After a meslais, empty it out. That teaches us that it takes 24 hours for the current contents of the pouch to draw out whatever absorptions are going to be transferred. Furthermore, in our last year we learned Rabban Gamliel drank wine even though it was placed into a pouch that belonged to an akum. And yesterday we struggled to understand what the basis of that heter was. The Rosh explains, now we understand very simply what the heter was. It was wine that was put in and taken out right away. The wine that he drank was put in within a 24-hour period. And then Echanami says the Rosh, had it been there longer, Ram Gamil would have not drank from it. Now, once again, back to how Rashi learns Al Gemara. Let's remember what Al Gemara told us. Al Gemara told us from the Beraisa that noidais, pouches, leather bottles that don't have any wax inside, chadashim mutarim, however, if it is old, or there is wax inside, it is us. That is Girsas Rashi. Now, first of all, let's understand this problem. When we say mutter, that means it's mutter after you thoroughly rinse it out. We'll see that in the Gemara Numbers Beis. We don't mention that because it's not necessary to mention that, says the Ritva. It's self-understood. You can't use the keli without first thoroughly rubbing and rinsing it out. When we say it's usr, we mean to say it is usr until we engage a more complicated hechsher, and that is filling it up for the three periods of 24 hours, or letting it stand for 12 months. That's something we'll see later in the Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. So when we say over here that if there's no wax, and it is new, it is mutter, Rashi explains that because there is no wax, therefore, whether it is mutter or asur depends only on one thing. How long did the Ovid Kechavim keep his wine in this pouch? Chadashim means that he only kept it there for a short while. Yeshanim means that he kept it there for a long time. If he kept it there for a long time, then even if there's no wax, we say that so much has been absorbed into the walls over here, into the skin over here, that it cannot be used. Even if he didn't keep it there for a long time, but if there's wax over here, so we say even if the Yakim only used it once, the Zephyr has such a capacity to be able to absorb that there's enough Yain Nesach over here to answer it instantly. When is it mutter? When do I say it's enough just to rub it out? You don't have to do the Irui. That is, if it is new, the Yakim only used it once, or definitely not many times, and there's no wax. There's only a little Yain Nesach that is absorbed over here, if any, and therefore it's enough just to rub it and rinse it out. It is unclear from Rashi whether noidos in general are considered the types of kelim that wine is stored in. Is a pouch something like a glass that you just use to carry it quickly from one place to another? Or is a pouch more like a barrel where you can store wine for an extended period of time? The other Rishonim make a big issue of that. Rashi says nothing about it. The reason the other Rishonim make a big issue of that is because we see from other places that if it is a kelim that wine generally is stored in for an extended period of time, Chazal made much more stringent gzeiros for this. Tosfos is bothered by other things. First of all, if Yeshitas Rashi, this halacha only applies to the pouches. It does not apply to the kankana. Rashi tells us in regard to the earthenware, even if wine was placed there once by the Eretz Yechavim, even if it had no zephes, we can no longer use it. It is also, reason being that the earthenware is so porous, it doesn't help me that it was only used once, and it doesn't help me that there's no zephes there. Tosfos finds that difficult because it's mashal from the Beraisa that kankanim, as well as noidus, seem to be put into the same category. Furthermore, Rashi bases the whole chadashim or yeshanim on whether or not the Eved Yechavim put wine in here for a long time or for a short time. But we seem to be left in the dark as to what is considered a long time and what is considered a short time. There's other kashas in Rashi as well, which we'll leave for now. There's another pshat that Tosfos brings from Harav Eliyahu. He explains, first of all, that noidos kelim are considered, by definition, kelim where wine is stored in for an extended period of time. And therefore, it's put on the same list as the jugs. A pouch is not used like a glass. A pouch is used to store the wine in. Therefore, even if the Akam used it only once, being that we understand once means it was kept there for a long time, it cannot be used afterwards. According to this pshat, according to Harav Eliyahu, when we say over here that if it's old, you can't use it, old means it was used even once. When we say chadashim, you can use, chadashim means that the Akim never used it. Now, can I look at this skin bottle and tell whether or not the Akim ever put wine in? I can if there's no zephis. At the point that the tar was put in, so A, I have a strong shash that in the process of putting in the tar, he mixed some wine there. Second of all, once the tar is there, it's almost impossible to be able to detect whether or not wine was put in. If there's no tar, so you can sort of smell the skin, you can tell. Once the tar is there, you can't. That's the reality, that's the mitzis. So the whole issue of zephis takes on a completely different dimension here, with the Rav Eliyahu. It has nothing to do with the capacity of the keli to absorb wine. The Rashi learns, the more zephis, the more wine it absorbs. The zephis has to do with whether or not we can detect if wine was ever placed into this keli. Because if wine was placed there even once, being that he holds noidos as a type of kelim where wine is stored in, we can't use it any longer. It has to be brand new. It has to be that the Akim never used it. Not the way Rashi learns that chadashim means he used it only for a little. Chadashim means the Akim never used it. And if there's zephis there, we can't tell. A major accomplishment is that now there is no nafkamina community noidos and kankana. The same is true for kankana. If they were used even once, you can no longer use them because the kankanim are very porous, just like the noidos are. According to the Rav Eliyahu, kelim, however, that are not machnis and lakiyim, if the Eved Yechavim are the type of keli that wine isn't stored in, but it's only used in a temporary way, like glasses or small kankanim, then it's taka different. It wouldn't be as machmir. But Tosfos has kashas on the sheet of Rav Eliyahu as well, and Tosfos brings a third mahalach here from the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam has a different gears than our Gemara. According to the gears of the Rabbeinu Tam, our Gemara should read the way that they said to us, that there is a distinct difference between noidos and kankanim. The Rabbeinu Tam classifies noidos as kelim she'en machnis and lakiyim. Noidos are used similar to the way a glass is used, to keep wine there just for a little bit, to move it from point A to point B. Not like kankanim, which are machnis and lakiyim, which are used to store the wine. Therefore, because noidos are in a different category, we approach it with a much more lenient view. And we say, l'fishitas v'beinu tam, in regard to noidos, whether they are new or even if they're old, as long as there's no zephis inside, all you have to do is to rinse it out and you can use it. Once there's zephis, that's a problem. Because the zephis has a tremendous capacity to absorb and it's very hard to get the residue of the wine out. Therefore, we would be machmer by noidos, even though they're not machnis and lakiyim. But if there's no zephis, and we're talking about noidos, it's mutter, even if they're old. Kankanim are also, if they were used already. Because kankanim are machnis and lakiyim. We store the wine over here for a long period of time. Now, Rashi held kankanim are dealt with in a more stringent fashion because they're more porous. But the Beinu Tam says the problem with kankanim is that they're mechnis and lakim. Even though when it comes to noidos, it looks like the Beinu Tam is much more mekel than anyone else, because he says even if they were used many times, as long as there's no zephis, it's mutter. But the Etzem, there's a tremendous chum over here, because he also says that if there is zephis, it's also even if they're brand new. Frektosis, but you see the minhag olam is not that way. The minhag was to purchase brand new kelim from Magda Kechavim, even though there was zephis there. And we don't say that Iri is necessary to remove any blias of Isser. Obviously, they titled it, but that has nothing to do with what we're saying here. That has nothing to do with cleaning it mitzvah kashrus. It wasn't necessary to kashu it. But according to the Rebbeinu Tam, you're saying that once there's zephis inside, even if it is a keli that is not machnis and lakim, even if it is a keli that by nature, this type of a keli was never used to store wine for a long time, it will require much more than just to rinse it out. Either Iri or Hagala. So Tosfos answers, it could be that Bimei Gemara was different than Bimei Tosfos. It could be that in the times of the Gemara was the derech to add wine in the process of mixing the pitch or the tar, and now it isn't, therefore we're not as machmir now. Tosfos points out to the Beit HaTam himself, of Chayzen is more mekel b'zmanazeh, because he says, even though we have tar, but we have tar in a base of wood, and the wood isn't b'leia as much as the cheresed. So even the Beit HaTam would agree, why we're more lenient, b'zman hazeh meaning b'zman hataisis. The halachais and the specifics of these halachais are long and complex, but these are the three main shitas in the Rishonim as to how to understand our Gemara. Let's conjure them over quickly. Shita number one was shitas Rashi. Rashi does not tell us what he considers noidos, whether it is machnis and lakiyim or not. Rashi just makes the point that if there's no zephes, it's not really boileya much. If there is FS, it absorbs much more. Furthermore, if it's new, then it didn't have a chance to be boileya too much. If it's old, that means the Akin may have used it many times or kept the wine in here for long periods of time, and therefore it's boileya. So therefore, if it's old, we can't use it because the amount of time gave the R a chance to absorb a lot of Yayin Esach. If there's Zephis, we can't use it because the Zephis gives the R the capacity to absorb a lot. So the only time we can use it, meaning we can use it without Iri, is if it's new and there's no Zephis. That's Shita's Rashi. Kankanim, on the other hand, are different. By Kankanim, even if the Yankim used them once, it is awesome because the Kankanim are by Leia a lot. The sheet of the Rabbeinu Eliyahu is first to identify both noidus and kankanim as kelim that are used to store wine in. They're machnis and lakim. And therefore, even if they were used once in that manner, we can no longer use it. Not unless there's iroi. From a practical standpoint, being that we cannot use either the noidus or the kankanim, according to the sheet, unless we know the Akim never used it even once, then Melech can't have any zephis. It has nothing to do with whether or not the zephes makes it absorb more. It has to do with once there is zephes, we can't tell anymore. We can't roll our fingers on the texture of the R to truly smell it and see whether or not there was wine here. So let's see how many nafkaminas we have between Rashi and the Rav Eliyahu. It's all essentially the same nafkamina, but it breaks up into these points. Number one, Rashi makes no point of whether or not these are machnis and lakiyim. Rav Eliyahu says the problem with noidus is that they are machnis and lakiyim. We know that when they're used, they are used for long periods of time. They're used to store the wine in. Second nafkanim, with these shitas Rashi, even if they were used once by the Akum, we can still refer to it as chadashes, where no iri is necessary. Rav Eliyahu says if they were used once, it's already called old. Third nafkamin is, what is the point of the zephis over here? With the shitas Rashi, it's because if there's zephis, it absorbs more. According to the Rav Eliyahu, that has nothing to do with it. If there is zephis, then we don't have the ability of detecting whether or not there was wine here. That's a different issue. The fourth nafkamin, and perhaps the most important, is that lefi shitas Rashi, there is a difference between noidus and kankanim. By kankanim, we are more machmir than by noidus, being that they're so porous. Therefore, even if it was used once, we can no longer use it, unless there's irut. According to the Rav Eliyahu, noidus and kankanim are the same. In both instances, being that these are machnis and lakiyim, once they were used once, we can no longer use it unless there is iru. Then we have the third sheet of the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi a little that there is a nafkamina between noidus and kankanim. but the Rebbeinu Tam supports a different girsa for this shita. Furthermore, unlike Rashi, the Rebbeinu Tam specifies the inyan of what is the nature of these kelim. Are they machnis and lakim or not? Noidais are not machnis and lakim according to the Rebbeinu Tam. Kankanim are. And therefore there are differences lahalacha between the two. In regard to noidais l'fishitas Rebbeinu Tam, it makes no difference whether they're old or new. The only difference is whether or not you have zephes here. If there's no zephes, it's mortu even if they're old. If you do have zephes, then it is also even if it is new, because there is a concern that maybe the Akum did put wine into it, and I can't get the wine out. In regard to kankanim, however, that are machnis and lakiyim, where the wine is kept there for long periods of time, here we say that it's only mutter if they're new. However, if they are old, even if there's no zephes, they are aser. And that is the chumrah that kankanim have over noidais, being that they are machnis and lakiyim. If they are old, they are aser, even if there is no zephes. The big chumrah, according to the Rebbeinu Tam, is that we see zephes asers even if, as far as we are concerned, it's absolutely new and it was never used. Once there is zephes, there is a concern that maybe the guy did put wine in once. And once there is zephes, it's very hard to get that wine out. As to why we see cestisis were makel in later generations, so there are different svaras. Perhaps the Zman HaZeh, the Ri says, the Arvdei Chachamim don't use yayin in the zephes process. Or as the Rebbeinu Tam himself later says, the Zephes is based in Eitz Bizman HaZeh, not in Cheres. But these essentially are the three major shitas over here. Let's go right now. Just to be marked in one Hagdama, the Gemaras we're going to learn now, whether they dispute the members that we learned before, or whether they coincide with what we learned before, depends on the respective different shitas of the Rishayna. Sakti Gemara, Tani Rabbana. Kankanim Shalav Dekechavim, Jogs of Dekechavim, they are made of Cheres. Chadashim, if they are new. Gerudim, and there is no tar in them. There never was, says Rashi. Mutar in them, they're mutar, because we know no wine was placed in them. However, yishanim umzufafim. Rashi explains it means either they are old, or even if they are new. But there is tar over here, asurin, and they are asur. Zakta b'raisavaiter, ayvik kechavim, nais matech niayinis, and ayvik kechavim put wine into these jars. So what is the answer? Yisrael nais matech niayin, the yid has to put in water. And we mean the process of iroi, says Rashi. For 3 periods of 24 hours, the water has to remain and be drained at the end of each respective period. And you should know, continues to the right, so there's another solution. If I became nois l'teichan yayin, Yisrael nois l'teichan seir umirais. We learned about this earlier. Seir is a kind of fat that comes from fish. Merais is also a kind of a very sharp fat that is made with kirvei dagim. These are so sharp that if you put them in, it is going to automatically absorb from the walls of the keli any absorptions of wine, and therefore the einu chayshish, there is no longer any reason to be concerned. So that's an alternate method to the irui. Now, frek to ritva. Isn't there a shayla of ein mevatla nisru l'chatchila? So the ritva says, whenever you have a prescribed method of being machshir kelim, we don't consider it being mevatla nisru l'chatchila. And this is the prescribed method to be machshir the einu nisru. This is how we kasher it. The Ran says that over here, if Kavan is not to be Mevatel, the Yisr, and therefore it's not Nugay over here, the halacha of Ein Mevatlan Yisr L'chadchil. The Rebbeinu Yoina says the reason we don't apply the Ein Mevatlan Yisr L'chadchil rule over here is that we're dealing with a very weak kind of an absorption. We're not dealing with a Be'en at all. We're dealing with something that absorbed liquid when it was cold. The Ein Yisr B'ritva. Now, when the Gemara says put in the Tzir Merayis over here instead of the water, we aren't told how long this fish sauce has to remain in. The Ritva suggests 3 consecutive days, which in a way is still easier than the water, because the water you have to keep emptying out at the end of each 24-hour period. You buy a little Gemara Shailag, it's like we're going out to Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Lechad Chila Yidiyavet. Rashi reminds us that we're still talking about Kankana made of Cheres here. So therefore, you're telling me now that although it is so thoroughly absorbed with Yayin Nesach, you put in the Tzir or Merayis, and that's enough. Do you mean to say L'chadchila, that's an Eitzah, or do you mean to say that B'di'eved, if it was done, it's Mutter? Sakti Yomar HaTashma, come in here. The Tani Rav Zvid, Barai Shia, Lekech, Kankanen, Mino Ev Dekechavim, if someone buys these jars from Ev Dekechavim, Chadashim, if they are new, Naisim L'techen Yayin, you can put wine straight in. No Hechsher is necessary. Yishanim, if they are old, if they were used already, nois in l'taych, and tzirim arayis, l'chadchila, you can put in the fish sauce. And we see that even l'chadchila, that is a way of being machshir the keli. What is the Allah? If they were thrown back into the furnace until the point where they mamish turned white, is that also good to kashrut? Amalei, so he told him, if tzir sayut, even this sharp source is enough to burn out the yisr, or like kolshkin, so is there any question that fire can do the same job? Itmar nani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and the Amilu others say, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kan kanin shalor de gechavit. Sheikh Zira and Lakiv Shanesh, they'll return to the furnace, kibon shenosha zifas al mihen, as soon as the tar fell off because of the heat, mutarin, it's automatically mutar. Amar Rabbi Ashi, lo itayma, don't say adonatim that it has to completely fall off. Even as soon as it begins to loosen, even though it didn't fall off completely, that's enough. Any beliefs over here are going to be lost. You don't have to worry about them going into the next thing that comes into this keli. But this is if he actually took it and put it into the kishon eish. What is kinsa? Kinsa zakrashi is that he took little sticks that were burning and he kept on inserting them into the jug until all the tar was off. So he didn't mamish put it back into the furnace, but he did burn off the tar. So pligi badavach v'davin chadasa. One of them says it's aser. Chanshari. The other one says this is okay. It's mutter. It's just as good as putting it back into the furnace. The hilchus and the alach is command aser. Now why? The fact is he's burning off the tar. And for Rashi, when we say that he has to burn off the tar, it's not just that the burning off of the tar is all we need. The point is that if he puts it back into the furnace and leaves it there so long that the intense heat from the outside penetrates the keli to the point where the tar on the inside begins to melt away, that is a raya that it was nislaven acheres, and that is a raya that the heat came through and through and penetrated every part of this keli, and we're not worried about bleus anymore. So the zephyr falling off is really a simin that it has been in the fire long enough that the heat from the outside in is so intense, so thorough, that we're not worried anymore. On the other hand, if he sticks in splinters of wood that are burning, and he goes directly to the zephyr and bypasses the outside, he melts off the zephyr taka, but we're still not free and clear. You still have absorptions in the cheres. Now let's see the Rashi inside over here, from the second of the narrow lines in Rashi. From here we see the hanichavias oikan kanan, lasicha machnisan lakian, being that they are used to hold the wine for long periods of time, to store the wine in them, loy sagi, it is not enough to hechsher bisnim, to kasher them the way we would kasher ordinary kalim, and that is by kashering the inside. Bein lasarfan, whether it's putting a fire inside, bein losis lataychan naim chaman, or putting hot water inside. How do I know that? Mida aser bekinsa, if we are answering a splinter of fire over here, the hainu ba'or answering with the fire itself, but being that he's doing it from the inside is not enough, so kolshkin b'masha huchim inenu, surely water that has been heated from fire is not enough, that's a secondary source of heat. Avol emefshel esafen mibachutz, but if it is possible somehow to bring it from the outside, shari, then it is mutter. Lefikach, therefore, because the standard kashering which is from the inside won't work over here, by things that are machnis and lakiyim, therefore, Rashi tzarach la'aron the eis la'eis, so you have to fill them up with water and spill out the water at the end of each 24-hour period. Oy lahashleisam, or you have to just hold on to them and don't use them. Wait, atchmei masachardish. This is an inyan we're going to see later, where you just leave it stand for 12 months. Taisus, however, disagrees with Rashi. Rashi learns the heat from the inside is not good enough. We have to be sure that it's so hot that even heat from the outside would melt the tar on the inside. According to Taisus, that's not the nekud over here. What is the reason for the man d'yomer who holds that you can't kasher it by inserting the pieces of wood that are burning? It's out of concern that he won't make the fire big enough. The Gemara explains in Masechtas Pesachim that we can't rely on a person making a fire from the inside because he's scared that his keli is going to break. So he's not going to allow that fire to become hot enough, to become big enough, and therefore we are concerned that he won't kasher it properly. Now these kli cheres, these kankanim that hold wine, are even more expensive. So there's a greater concern. He's going to be very sensitive if he's sticking the fire in on the inside. If he throws it into the kivshin eish, so obviously it's not shayach over here that he's going to have any rachmanis on it. It'll make the fire lower or dimmer. It's in a kivshin eish. Once you threw it in, it's in. But once he's going to start picking away at it with a splinter of fire, this kid is not going to be that thorough, because over here he's still thinking of saving the keli. of the possibility of it not being damaged by heat, and he's not going to do a thorough job. On the other hand, with hot water, he's not as concerned. So Rashi told us that a fire on the inside is not good. So hot water, which is heated by fire, for sure is not good. So Tosfos says, no, fire is not good because he won't do a thorough job. But with hot water, which has less heat, we're not as concerned. We're more confident he'll do a thorough job. So that's more of a reason to be machshir it. Tosfos brings from Rav Moshe Mikutzi, that's a smag, that even though we pass him according to the Mandiyamar, who says over here, you cannot insert the fire to kasher it on splinters of wood, but you can take the chavis and put it over a fire. If the fire is strong enough, if it is strong enough from the inside, that if you put your hands on the outside of the chavis that is over the fire, you'll burn your hands, it's yatsi lettuce boy, and that is as good as kashering. So again, it's consistent with what Tosfos is saying. If it's a fire and a splinter of wood, I have no good way of measuring whether or not there is an adequate fire over here. Now, he may have applied enough fire to melt off the zephyr, but he may have done it so delicately, so slowly, that it's not enough to kasher it. But at the point, as we explained earlier, that you throw it into a kivshin eish, or even if he doesn't throw it into a kivshin eish, but he's ready to actually pick it up and put it over a fire that is big enough. Here I have a way to measure the fire, big enough that if I would put my hand on the outside of the fire, it would be too hot. Now I know that he kashered it properly. But if any time was not, your Tosfos continues, to kasher a chavis through hot water, to be mitayrit from yayin nesach, and the way to do it is to open up one of its sides. Tosfos is talking about a wooden one. So you take out one of the planks, you pour in hot water, and then you roll it from side to side, making sure that the hot water covers all areas. This wouldn't work by other isurin. That wouldn't be an adequate hagalah, because you don't even have iru mikvei rishon over here. However, when it comes to yayin nesach, which is tashmishay betzainin, it is mutter. And the Rebbeinu Tam brings raya's to that. The re-entices suggests a different method of hagala. He says to take off each plank separately. Then take a pail of water or a pot of water, cook it up, and pour from the pot on each plank individually. Here too it's a kula, because as you're pouring, it's not all ish anymore. But it's adequate for this. Now others took the kula a step further, Taisa said. They would take a plate of water, put it onto a pan that was on the fire. And as soon as it started bubbling over, they would then take from this plate or take from this pot and kasher with that water. But it could be that that's really going too far, because at least in the first instance, we had a clay rishon that was ala esh. Although it's not ala esh anymore, but we're pouring directly from this keli. Over here, it could be this as a din of a cliché, even though it was directly on the machlas on the fire, but it's still not the keli that had the direct contact with the fire. The Gemara is asking whether it is permitted to put beer into this kankan. The Ritva, however, learns that the Gemara is asking whether you can replace the tzira marayis with beer. In other words, the same way the fish sauce draws out the wine, could it be that beer too does it? Let's see the Gemara weiter. Rav Nachman of Yehuda Asri v'Rav Ashari. So the first way we learn of Nachman of Yehuda Asri to put beer into this kankan, mitzad the kashus of the beer, Rav is matir. The way that Ritva learns, Rav Nachman of Yehuda Asri to use beer instead of the fish sauce, and Rav says that the beer does the same thing that the fish sauce does. It burns out the wine. Zakti Gemara weiter. Ravina sharalei Rav Chiya b'reidet Rav Yitzchak. Ravina was matir for Rav Chiya b'reidet Rav Yitzchak le'mir mebeishicha to put in beer. However, he went and he put in wine. So perhaps that story should be a reason that we should ask for beer as well, as a gzeira of wine. But Ravina didn't feel that way. Despite this mistake, Amri said, it just happened that way. There's no reason to be geyser. So again, if you learn the Shiloh was pashed, whether you can put the beer in and drink the beer. So what happened over here was, he was matir beer. At the end, we wound up putting in wine. Is that a reason to be geyser all beer? Ravina says no. Akroi ba'alma. The way that it fall learns that the shaila is that the beer should be instead of the fish sauce, that the beer is a method of kashering. So what the Gemara means over here, when we say that he put in wine, it can't be that he had a havmin that the wine would kasher it, but rather he put in wine forgetting that he has to kasher it. So in other words, if you have to put in fish sauce, everyone realizes it needs a kashering, or else you can't use it. But if you're going to be matir beer to kasher it, so not everyone knows you're putting in beer to kasher it. it may look like you're putting in beer. Stop. Before you use it for wine, now you're using it for beer. Somebody else may take the same can with the problematic wine in it and use it for wine afterwards, which is what happened over here. Wine was used before they kashered it. So therefore, there was a suggestion that we shouldn't allow the kashering through beer, according to this chat. And the answer is no, according to Alma, we're still matters. The Rav Avud was showing the little like the Ritva, that the suggestion was that the beer should be in place of the tzir and the merayis to kasher. Many of the Shalim don't learn that way. Taisus and Devi Anaskol Shar Lamir Meshicha clearly doesn't learn that way, because Taisus says that not only can you put in beer, you can also put in water and any other mashkin besides for wine. So obviously, any other mashkin besides for wine is not going to do what beer can do, even if beer does have the power to burn up the absorptions. So clearly we're talking about the kashrus of what we're putting in. We're not talking about a method of kashering it. He had these kalim that were made out of gulei bakar. Malinu ma'i, how did he kasher them? He filled them up with water, but he did more than just leave the water inside. Anachinu b'shimshi, he put it into the sun. And what happened was, paku, it burst open. Amalei the Baba, so the Baba said, Asatinu lach yisur de li'aylam. The way you treated the kashering of your kalim, you asked it forever. In other words, you lost it for nothing. It wasn't necessary. What did the Rabbanan say? They said to fill it up with water. That would have been enough. Fill it up with water for three periods of 24 hours. Did they say leave it in the sun? You went and put it into the sun. You have no one to blame but yourself. Clean neser, aim like tahara lumps. There is no possible way of being metar clean neser. This is so porous. It absorbs the yayin so thoroughly, there's nothing you can do that is going to guarantee us we have taken it out. Secting, more of my clean neser, what is this? Amad of Yoisi Barovin, it is clean machpoyus shel serif. Serif, according to the old French words Rashi gives us, in this instance means a type of salt. So this is a keli that is made out of the karka, the type of karka that they draw tzarif from. This is extremely porous, and you can't get the wine out of it. Although the Ritva says, the Gemara means you can't get the wine out of it through kashering. But if you would leave it for 12 months, then it wouldn't be worse than other things that we say becomes mutter. Taisus explains that this word neter or neser appears in Shas in different places, and it means different things. For example, in the Masechtas Nida, it is one of the ingredients we put over a kesem to try to test it to see if or if not it's blood. Over there it's a kind of soap. In the Masechta Shabbos it's used to describe the type of kli cheres. So it all depends on the context. The Mashal explains how Taisus knows that the kli cheres the Gemara is talking about in Masechta Shabbos is not this particular keli that we're digging up from the ground over here. Ayin de Mashal. Zak the Gemara Vayter. Harzek, that was his name. Rufila, that was his title. Rashi says he was a sheni lamelach. Onas hani kuvei mitzvotadis. He took by force certain jugs from Pumpadis. So the Mishnah Lamelech stole some jugs from the yeshiva Pumpadis. Ramabu Chamra, he put in wine, used it for himself, and then Adrina Nalayu, he returned it to them. Also Shalil Rav Yehuda, so they came to ask Rav Yehuda, what can they do with this now? Amar, so he said, this is something that wine is not stored, and he may have used it, but he didn't store the wine in it, and therefore it is necessary to do Irui, or Hagala, but Meshach Shechon Denayim, you rub it and rinse it with water, the Hein Mutar and becomes Mut. The Ritva explains that these kuvei were actually klei hagasein. They were kelim that were used in the processing of the wine from the press. And if I endowed them in Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us that these types of kelim have to be kashered in a special way, with water and with ashes. So the chiddush over here is, says the Ritva, that would be the dafka if he used them or took them to use them during the time that they press wine. But he didn't use it for that purpose. Even though this kelim may have been designed for the wine press, he used it stamp to put wine in. And the Mela, we consider it as any other small keli that is not made to store wine, and it was enough just to rinse it. that it's for ants that we're talking about where there's no tar here. If there was tar, then you have all the other problems. It could be that iri would be necessary. And when we say over here that you're meshach shechet, that means hadafa and shtifa. You have to wash it and rinse it thoroughly. This is a keli that is made out of a certain type of red earth, Rashi explains. Given to Lebali Tuva, this earth was more compressed, it was less porous. Being that it doesn't absorb as much, so it is enough to thoroughly rinse it with water, and then it is mutar. Amra Papi, Hani Pasvusa de Bei Michsi. Whereas the gear says Hani Klei Pasvusa. These Klei Pasvusa are different types of earthenware that come from Bei Michsi. They too were very hard, even to Lebali Tuva, because Bimitsias they don't absorb as much. So we also say, Meshach Shechon Benayim, it is enough to rinse them in water, Umetarin, and they are mutar. Sakim Ravai Tekasi, these are Kaisai Savcheres. Definitely not Nachnis and Lakiyim. No one stores wine in them, people just drink wine from it. Rav Asi Asar. Rav Asi says, it's Asar. Rav Asi Shari. Now the Gemara explains where the Machlaikis is. Ish Asi Bu Oibet Yechavim Tam Rishon. If the very first time this Kais was used, after it was formed, and Avi Kachavim drank from it, Kuli Amalai Pligi De'Asa. The first time you use this, it's still soft. And the Nela, anything that goes in, is going to be absorbed through and through. So the only way to be matter it would be Iri, to fill it up with water for 3 days. What's the process of Iri prescribed earlier? So even if Ashi would be Maida, that if the first time it was used with Iser, then it must have Iri. Ki Pligi, when do they argue the Pamshein? If the first time it was used with something that is kosher. Only the second time was it absorbed with Isser, that Isser doesn't go through as much as the first time does. By then, the Keli already is full with the first wine, and therefore doesn't take in that much of the second wine. So here's where the Vasi still Assers, and the Vashi is Matter. Ikadami, others say, Pam Rishon the Sheni, the first time, and even the second time, it's still too new. Kuli Amal Pugi the Asser, what is going to go in over here is going to go through and through. Ki Pligi, when do they argue? The Pam Gimel. If the first 2 times the cup was used, it was used with kosher wine. The third time the Akum drank from it, here's what the Machlokes, here the Vashi says, by the third time it doesn't absorb that much, and the male it's mutter. The Hilchos of the Halacha is, Pam Rishon V'Sheini, if the Akum used it the first or second time after the cup was formed, Aser. Gimel, if when the Akum used it, it was the third time the cup was being used, mutter. Well, if these exercises, it's a good idea if you have new Klei Cheres to make sure that the first time someone uses this, it shouldn't be a problem. So it's a good idea to fill it up with water and let it sit that way. The Nela, even if you would use it with wine the first time and an Akum happens to touch it, you wouldn't run into problems because it's not really the first time it's being used. It's already saturated with water. That's one pshat on the Gemara. The Ben Tam asks kashes on this pshat and has another pshat that we're not talking about a brand new keli over here. These cups may be new, they may be old. This Pam Rishon or Pam Sheni does not mean the first or second time that we're using the cup after it was formed. It means something else altogether. This Pam Rishon or Pam Sheni means how many times do you have to rinse it? For the Gemara means Hilchasa. Pam Rishon the Sheni, the first two Hadachas Benayim are not enough. Shlishi, after the third time, it's mutter. Because if I rinsed it a third time, by then I'm sure that all the absorptions of Israel have been taken out. So Tosfos brings some very interesting rise to this. First, Tosfos brings a raya from a Gemara in Zvachim about a keli where there's a chash that there are meirig liam of a zav or ziva there. The first or second time it's not enough. You have the same lashon. Pam Rishon v'Sheni is not enough, but Shlishi is tar because by the third rinsing, we know we have cleaned it. But the next raya is from Haman. The Medrash on Yeshmei Am Echad tells us Haman said to Achashverosh, "Do you know how the Jews think of you? Im zvuv neifel l'kaisa shalachemim, if a fly would fall into the cup of one of them." He wouldn't be concerned with that. That wouldn't be a problem. Zarka, he would throw the fly away, and he would drink it. But if Adoni Amelech, if my master the king would touch it, you know what he would do with it? He would bang it into the ground. And not only that, he would wash that cup 3 times. So there's a raya from Haman, that the minhag of the Yidden was to rinse it 3 times. Saktais, this inyan of multiple hadachos is dafka b'kais of shocheres. But a kais that is made of wood, or metal, or glass, alpi svara, it would only be necessary to rinse it 1 time. However, Taisa says, being that often the term kais in the Gemara refers to even metal or glass kaises, so it could be we aren't necessarily talking about kli cheres over here, and therefore the proper thing would be to rinse it 3 times. B'chalak helim. The Ritva disagrees with the way Taisus learned, that the Pam Rishon, Pam Sheni, Pam Shlishi means how many times do you have to rinse it. First of all, the Gemara just introduces Shaila by saying we have over here Kaisus. The Vasi asses it, and the Vashi is matter it. We didn't mention anything about rinsing yet. So it's mashma that the Shaila zeroes in on the Mahus of the Kais. Furthermore, the Gemara goes on to explain that an Akim drank from it. Now, if the inyan was how many times you have to rinse it, we could have just began by saying how many times you have to rinse it. We would understand what the problem is. The fact that the Gemara begins this way by saying, here we have the Kaisis and here we have the Machlokes, and what happened was an Akim drank from it, is mashma the way Rashi learns. That we have a brand new Kais over here, which is Kli Cheres. And the problem is, the first times that you use it, it absorbs much more. And as you keep on using it, it absorbs less and less. And that's the issue, like we learned originally. Tchilas Tashmishai is much more serious. If there was Isser, then you must have Irui. How many times do you have to use it for us to say it's no longer Tchilas Tashmishai? Once, twice, or three times? Incidentally, it's interesting that Taisus brings a raya from the Medrash with Hama. Because there's a shayla that the Paiskim talk about, whether or not you can bring a raya lahalacha from Midrashim. The Taisus Yamtif, in the Sechtes Brachas, Perikai Mishnah Dalad, brings a Yerushalmi in the second Perik of the Sechtes Peyet, halacha vav, Rav Zeira b'shem Shmuel, Ein l'meidin loy minu halachais, v'loy minu agadais, v'loy minu ateseftais, ele minu agamar. This is a shayla that's discussed in the Sefer Pardes Yaisiv, in Vayishlach, Islamit Hei, in other tshuvas svarim, whether or not you can bring a raya from Medrash. The end is the Pardes Yaisiv says there's no raya from our Taisus that you could bring a raya l'halacha from the Drasha. True, Taisus is quoting what Haman said, but that's the point. If the Medrash stated a halacha, then in a chanam you wouldn't bring a raya from that halacha. But the Medrash is not stating a halacha. The Medrash is testifying what the Yidden did. Haman is saying to Achashverosh, this is what I see Jews doing. I see them rinsing the cup three times. So it's not that the Medrash is stating a halachic opinion over here. The Medrash is stating a fact. This is what Jews did. So we're not looking at the opinion of the Medrash. We're looking at the testimony of the Medrash. That's what the Jews did. So even if you hold you can't bring a raya from Midrashim, but from what Haman said, we can bring a raya that it may be necessary to rinse it three times.